talofa lava, malo i lele, whakalofa lahi atu, bulavanaka, taloha ni. And warm Pacific greetings to our listeners who have tuned in this morning. Welcome to AA Meeting on Air. My name is Rose and I'm an alcoholic. I will be your chair for today. Please will you help me open this meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
I will read the preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. Before we start with the sharing, I will read a section from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is a text used to help alcoholics recover from alcoholism and how to live without alcohol in their lives. From the doctor's opinion, men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. The sensation is so elusive that while they admit it is injurious, they cannot, after a time, differentiate the true from the false. To them, their alcoholic life seems the only normal one. They are restless, irritable, and discontented, unless they can again experience the sense of ease and comfort which comes at once by taking a few drinks. Drinks which they see others taking with impunity. After they have succumbed to the desire again, as so many do, and the phenomenon of craving develops, they pass through the well-known stages of a spree, emerging remorseful with a firm resolution not to drink again. This is repeated over and over, and unless this person can experience an entire psychic change, there is very little hope of his recovery. Dr. William D. Silkworth. I will now ask Carl to share their experience, strength and hope.
Talofa lava, my name is Carlo, and my family call me Carl, and friends in the rooms call me Carl. I'm an alcoholic. And yeah, it's great to be here this morning with you all. And this journey that I'm on at, of recovery, visiting the rooms regularly of AA, has, you know, put me in good stead. It's been a little over 11 months. I'm coming up to my first year sober and clean. And, yeah, it's been a real interesting journey. I met a lot of really awesome people, you know, and I'm finding today that the rooms of AA, where I go, they've actually turned into a bit of a storehouse for me. It's where I go and I get replenished in the way of strength and hope and just, you know, trying to sort through life as, you know, on life's terms. And as I said, you know, I've met a lot of really good people along the way, you know. Not so much, you know, the talkers, but the actual doers, you know, the people that are doing the program, doing their program. And just by way of a friend in the rooms, an old-timer, gifted her a poem, and I'd like to share that poem with you today as it ended up falling into my lap. And it's untitled, so I've titled it Working the Program, and written by a gentleman by the name of John. There's a lot of examples in AA, aren't there? Yes, there are a lot of them, but I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. And I'd rather that you'd walk with me than merely tell me the way. Because the eye is quicker and is more willing than the ear. And it's your example that makes it mighty clear. Now the best of preachers are the men who live their creed. for seeing good put in action is what everybody needs. Now I can do it if you'll show me how it's done, for I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast might run. Now the lectures you deliver undoubtedly wise and true, but the lesson that I want to learn is by watching you. For I might not understand the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding the way you act and live. Now, you know, this is the beauty with going to the rooms and meeting different ones, and in the fellowship of AA, you know, there's some real genuine people there, you know, such as the author of this poem, a gentleman by the name of John, who's been sober since 1951, you know, and he's sober today because he works this program. And, you know, he's just one shining example that the program does work. You know, he's got a fantastic wealth of knowledge, you know, walking this road, that he passes on, you know, in the meetings. And, you know, and I just stick with the doers. You know, today, different ones in the fellowship, you know, that I've come to know, they really support me, you know, and they help me out, you know. Now, I could have, you know, started with a drunkologue for you this morning, but I really feel that it's all about recovery for me. It's all about living in today, you know. I came from a background of unconditional evil, and today I strive for and share, you know, try and share unconditional love. And that's what the program is teaching me. That's what the doers are teaching me in this program. They're teaching me to put myself aside for a little while and help someone out, you know, get selfless with life, you know. And this is the impartation that's been passed to me freely. So, you know, if you're in that place, you know, that only an alcoholic knows, you know, that place of despair, loneliness, rejection, you know, I really encourage you to just pick that phone up and give us a call, because there's someone in the room waiting for you, waiting to help you, waiting to reach out to you. You know, and that's the wonderful thing about the rooms, you know. There's a lot of examples in the room, you know, that help me today. And there's also a lot of examples that show me what not to do. You know, it's a place of reality. It's a place where, you know, I have the choice. So, you know, I'll just leave it there. And I thank you very much for letting me share. Thanks.
Oh, well, thank you, Carl. Amber, would you like to share your experience, strength and hope with us, please?
Thanks, Rose. And thanks, Carl, for opening. Hi, I'm Amber and I'm an alcoholic. Yeah, it's a beautiful poem. It made me think a lot about my recovery and what it's brought to my life. Yeah, and all the amazing examples we have, that we're blessed to have in AA, of the program working. You know, I don't really want to do drunkologue either, you know. But for the purposes of people to maybe identify, I'll go into a little bit. For me, it started with dope when I was 12, and I was addicted straight away, and that went on for a couple of years until that stopped working. And then I picked up alcohol when I was about 15 and ran with that for about 20 years. And before my drug and alcohol use, I was painfully shy. I was scared to walk into a room and have people look at me. I'd grown up in church, and it was a good place, but I felt quite judged, and I felt scared to make mistakes. And of course, when I started, using drugs and drinking alcohol, I made a lot of mistakes. So I walked around feeling quite like a bad person a lot, because I knew what was right, but I seemed to end up always doing the wrong thing when I was drinking. A lot of the worst things happened when I was under the influence, and I ended up in a lot of places I never set out to go when I first started drinking. And, I always seemed to spend all my money at once. And, the day after payday, I'd be walking to work. And, I spent a lot of years working in restaurants and cafes and cooking, which is interesting to look back on now, because, there was always alcohol around. And, I didn't have to even buy food, so I could always eat at work. So I didn't really notice that I never bought food. I didn't notice that, I actually wondered how people bought cars and, clothes and makeup and things like that, because I just never seemed to have enough money to get that kind of stuff. I thought you had to be rich or something. I drank and used drugs for years and years, and eventually I had some children, and that kind of calmed me down a bit. And I threw myself headlong into raising my lovelies, and it was pretty good, although I didn't really know what I was doing, and I often felt like I was just kind of pretending. Like I didn't really know what being a parent was, but I had to kind of watch others and sort of do what they did. And, I tried to make my house look very pretty, and my children, I kept them really clean. And, I thought that's what being an adult was. And, towards the end of when my little one went off to Kohanga, my drinking started to ramp up again, and it got extreme, and it got to be like it was before I'd had children. And I was getting scared, and I realised I had to do something. My marriage was falling apart, and I was trying really, really hard to make everything look good and to be a really great mum and the best mum I could be, but something inside didn't feel right, and I felt really quite empty and sad, and I was in a lot of pain inside, but I couldn't tell anyone about that because I didn't trust anyone, and I didn't think that anyone wanted to know that. I just felt like I should keep that to myself and just get on with it and suck it up and, get on with it. And because everyone else seemed to, be doing okay, so why couldn't I? Anyway, I was really lucky to end up in Alcoholics Anonymous through a series of events. And, from my first meeting, I identified with what people shared about how they felt, really. There's a lot of different ways that people drank and behaved that you hear in Alcoholics Anonymous, but it was the way they felt that I identified with, and the honesty which they shared how they felt, and the way in which they respectfully listened when I spoke. And that was over 4 years ago now. And I've been blessed to have been sober since my first meeting. I was told at my first meeting that I didn't have to give up drinking for the rest of my life, which I liked because I loved drinking. It was the only thing that took away my disease and discomfort. That I would only have to try for one day and 24 hours. And I thought, well, I reckon I could do one day. And I have for, you know, that 4 years. It's amazing. And but yeah, there's that real, there's an amazing depth of experience in AA, and there's a safety for me there because I just feel so at home, and I know that I can share that stuff about my alcoholism there, and it's something that society finds a little difficult to understand at times, I think. It's my personal opinion, not AA's opinion. I've learnt so much about how to live sober, and I've got a lot more to learn. And I continue to come, and I continue to be open to learn. And it's given me a really decent life that I love to live each day, and a way to live my life in a way that's useful. And yeah, I'm deeply grateful to it. So I'll keep coming. Thanks, Rose.
Thanks, Amber. Chris. Would you like to share?
Yeah, thanks, Ruth. Tala for love, and my name's Chris, and I'm an alcoholic. And, yeah, it's really good to hear my friends share. We've been on this journey. I've been on the journey with Amber for nearly, I'm coming up to 4 years, and to be able to see a fellow Samoan, Carl, who's just come in, and he's coming up to his first year, and that's just awesome, you know. I've suffered from alcoholism all my life. I'm like Amber. You know, I started very young. I started sipping the froth off my father's beer, and, you know, like I was that kid that that every time he opened a bottle, you know, like from the day I took my first sip, I wanted more and more. And you know, my dad used to drink on a Saturday afternoon and listen to his horse races, and, you know, like, and I knew, you know, like, that was one of the things I wanted to stay home for, is for that time that he opened up that beer, you know, so I could have a drink. And, you know, I loved it so much I left home at that young age, at 12, you know, like, you know, not only did I do a lot of drinking at that young age, you know, I used to sniff glue. I would do anything to relieve me of what was going on inside my head, you know. And you know, like alcohol, drugs, and all of that stuff. You know, that helped me get away from myself, and you know, and the situation that I was in, you know, like at a young age, you know, once for warriors, you know, that was my lifestyle. You know, I'm from South Auckland. Even though we weren't Māori, you know, my dad was a full-blown alcoholic. He would go to work, you know, and and get paid on a Thursday, and by Friday, like Amber would say, you know, there'd be no money to feed the family. My mother worked two jobs. She'd go to work from 7 till 5, and then come home and try to look after us, and then by 1 o'clock she was up doing a cleaning job, you know, and she would do that until 6 in the morning. So, you know, like, she was gone all the time, and you know, I just wanted to get out of that lifestyle, and alcohol and drugs, you know, helped me do that at a young age, you know. And you know, and all my life, that's what I thought. You know, that's why I was the way I was. You know, I thought that's why I drank, and that's why I drugged, because of all of that stuff. You know, happening when I was young, and my upbringing, and we were poor, and we lived in South Auckland, and I was a Samoan, and, you know, I thought that's why I drank. You know, and 38 years later, I end up on the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous, and through going through the program with a sponsor and, you know, him taking me through the big book, you know, especially, and there, there's a chapter, The Doctor's Opinion, and once he explained to me what alcoholism was, and the way he explained it to me, I really, really understood it. You know, like today I know that none of that stuff has had anything to do with why I drink. You know, like I drink because I suffer from the allergy. When I pick up a drink, the first asks for the second insists on the third demands the fourth. And, you know, Chris is in a garage, you know, at 5 o'clock in the morning while his wife and kids are at home on their own, you know, and that used to happen to me all the time, you know. Every time I touched the drink, I couldn't stop. No matter what commitments I had in, you know, in front of me or what plans I had, you know, I would mow my lawns and think that, well, I deserve a drink, you know. And, you know, like, so off I would go to the wholesalers to get a drink, and I'd end up going back home and I'd have one beer, you know, and then I'd have two beers. And then all of a sudden I'm on the phone ringing a brother to see what he's up to, and then we'll be having more beers, you know. And, you know, 2 days later, you know, I'm in the same, you know, I'm back, I'm doing exactly what my dad was, you know. I hadn't, you know, I hadn't done anything that I promised my wife I would do besides mow the lawns, you know, and really I only mowed the lawns to keep her off my back. And, and you know, all that stuff that I promised my kids that I'd do for them, you know, like, man, once a drink was put in front of me, man, it was all over, you know. And, you know, like, being an AA has set me free from all of that stuff, you know. It's been mentioned in the sharing today about the honesty, you know. It's the honesty, it says in how it works, you have to be rigorously honest, you know. I didn't even understand what rigorously means, you know. You know, maybe I should look it up in the dictionary, but, you know, I don't really like reading. But it's the truth. What I hear in meetings, it's the truth, you know. And one of the things that jumped out of me when I started going to AA meetings is, you know, AA is the... you know, there's a piece in there that it talks about how it is the language of the heart. And another thing that jumped out at me in AA was that, you know, like through working this program, you know, you could be, you know, you could walk in the sunlight of the spirit. You know, just some of that stuff that that's in our in our big blue book, you know, I really wanted, you know. And, you know, you meet people that are, you know, one day sober, you know, 30 days sober, 90 days sober, 6 months sober, 1 year sober, you know, and it goes on to, you know, like I know members in the fellowship that are 55 years sober, you know, and, you know, it's a miracle, you know, like when I hear an old friend from over the shore, Bluey, speak, you know, he speaks my language, you know, like he speaks about 55 years later, he speaks about when he picked up a drink, he couldn't stop, you know, and that's what I relate to, you know, that when that phenomenon of craving kicks in, man, there was just nothing could, you know, could stop me from drinking. And, you know, I took a lot of drugs as well, you know. I took a lot of drugs so I could drink more, you know. And with drugs, when I drugged, I passed out. When I drank, I blacked out, you know. And blacking out is not good, you know, especially when you're a Polynesian man, very angry, you know, 6 foot, you know, 110 kgs, violent, you know. And in blackout, man, a lot of bad things happened, you know, and... you know, all I know is that I've worked this program to the best of my ability, man, and I'm here with some really good friends, you know, and I've got so much support from, you know, the wider group of Alcoholics Anonymous that, you know, I've come to a place where, you know, my hands are up and not out, you know, and today I'm not a victim. to anyone, you know, to any circumstance, you know. When I get in trouble, man, it's not because of you, it's because of me, you know. Today I've learned not to point the finger, you know, and take on my own stuff and be responsible with, you know, what I do in my life today, you know. And you know, and old father, I'm going to finish on this. You know, I tortured my wife through my alcoholism for 26 years, you know, and today, you know, I can tell you that my wife and kids are, you know, are very happy. You know, our relationship is the best it's ever been. You know, I have a relationship with four teenagers, you know, that are my kids, all teenagers, and, you know, I wouldn't have any of that if I didn't have AA. So, you know, yeah, thanks for the opportunity to share, Rose.
Thank you, Chris. Kia ora, and kia ora na malo. That brings us towards the end of our meeting. I'd like to thank our AA friends and whānau for their willingness to share their stories with you. We truly hope that our message can help the still suffering alcoholic amongst our friends, families, and within our community. If you have a problem with alcohol and want help, you can phone AA on 0800 AA Works, which will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. There are over 100 AA meetings each week within the Greater Auckland area. For more information, log on to aa.org.nz. You can hear this program again on planetaudio.org.nz/AA meeting on air. And that concludes our sharing this morning. Thank you for listening. We will be here again next Sunday at 10:45. Would you please help me close this meeting with the Serenity Prayer?
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Thank you to our listeners, and tune in again to Planet FM 104.6. Stream it, listen on demand, pod it. Your favourite shows are waiting on planetaudio.org.nz.